Grown-ups, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. This morning, we're going to begin looking at one of Paul's letters to his young protege, whose name was Timothy. And Paul writes this letter to encourage, and also kind of there's an overarching theme throughout the letter, and it's authenticity. You know, if there's anything that we need in our world today, it's authenticity. It's to be real. It's to be authentic. There are a lot of fake things and a lot of fake people in this world today. Sometimes it's really easy to spot a fake. But sometimes it's really hard. Money with print, you know, we've got laser printers now and all kinds of crazy technology, and people can make some money that looks very real. And so our, you know, treasury, you know, they've had to do certain things. They put this, you know, watermark, so now our money looks more like play money. It first switched over. I had no idea they were switching it over. I guess I just wasn't paying attention to. And I got this $20 bill, wherever it was, Kroger, or wherever it might have been. What's this? This isn't how $20 bill is supposed to look. And because it was different. Well, how do we know what's. Well, something inside says, well, if we want to know what's fake, let's study all about everything that's fake. We'll just study the fakes really good. But you know what? The Secret Service, you know, the government's not smart about a lot of things, but they have got something figured out. They teach Secret Service, and the banks teach their tellers how to spot fake money, not by looking at fake money, but by becoming so familiar with the real thing that when something that's fake comes across their desk or across their fingers, they instantly know this is not the real thing. There are, not just in money, but, you know, I like to drink Coca-Cola. I'm trying to, in fact, Seth and I went to state meeting, and I was reading something on Facebook. It's dangerous to read Facebook before you go to bed, but there's something talking about India. And mentioned in this post that in India, they use Coke and Pepsi as insecticides in a lot of farms. I said to Seth, I said, that's kind of concerning. And Seth asked me, he said, well, are you going to stop drinking Coca-Cola? No. But, you know, there's a difference between Coke and Walmart Cola. Or K-Cola. There is a marked and very noticeable difference. It's not the same. Now, there's some people that actually prefer, you know, the Dr. K Cola or whatever it is, or the Walmart brand Cola. I'm not one of those. It's yucky to me. I like the real thing, the original recipe. That's not the original recipe, but that's another sermon for another time. But so, as Christians, we need to understand there are a lot of fake Christians out there in this world. People that say they're a Christian, but they have no relationship with Jesus Christ, and God's not made any difference in their life. Can I tell you that if you say you're a Christian, and God has not made any difference and change in your life, you're not. And that's not being judgy or putting you down. It's just stating the fact. Because the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God makes us brand new when we come to know him. And friend, this world, if ever there was a time when this world needed authentic, real Christians, it is today in 2021. And the thing is, people are looking, people are hungry for answers. And people are spiritual. Why are people spiritual? They're still spiritual today. Just they're asking spiritual questions in the wrong places, and so they're getting the wrong answers. We know that those longings for spiritual wholeness, or whatever you want to call it, comes from the fact that God created us. And He created us to know Him and to live with Him. And when our life is apart from Him, there's something missing in our life. And so people try to fill it with all kinds of different things. But the only thing that can fill that God-sized hole inside of every one of us is God. And that's what Paul is telling us in this letter that we call 1 Timothy. So take a look with me. We're going to read the first 11 verses this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables or endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and a sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be the teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. And if there's any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. As it begins this letter over and over again, and throughout this whole letter, he's going to focus on, listen, you've got to know the real thing. You know, the reality is, any moron can have a blog and post something on the internet. Publishing companies will publish any idiots. You know, if they have enough money, they self or they think it's going to be sensational enough, so any idiot can write and publish a book. You know. And so just because somebody writes a book or writes a blog or, you know, has it does not necessarily mean they're the real thing. But Paul tells us you can know what's real and what's not. There's evidence. They can tell the difference between real gold and fake gold. Real gold is not a metal. It's not magnetized. If you take your jewelry and you take a magnet in it, chances are you hadn't got a real gold. There's always tests that can tell and authenticate. You know, and you go. We talked about money earlier. When you go and you know, I don't have them very often. You know, hardly anybody uses cash anymore. But if you do have cash and you've got $20 bill or $100 bill, and you take it and you give it to the cashier, they're not just probably going to take it and put it in the drawer and give you, you know, the change. They've got a machine that they're either going to put that bill on, or they've got a pen that they're going to mark on that will tell them if it's real or if it's fake. And Paul writes to his young protege Timothy and says, listen, you stay in Ephesus, which Ephesus was a pagan, heathen city. And it certainly needed the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like we live in a heathen culture today, and it seems like it's getting worse and worse every day, it needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our world does. But you see, the world is not changed by fake disciples. It's only true disciples, true followers of Jesus that have any impact on this world. Because true disciples understand that it's not them that's making the change. It's Jesus Christ working in and through them that's making the change. And praise God that Jesus Christ is not dead. He is alive today and sits at the right hand of the Father of God and is equipping and fighting for His church. And He promises that His church will be victorious. Well, so how do we tell what's real, preacher? Well, there's three things that I want us to look at, and I think that Paul says you need to make sure that these three things are the real deal, that you don't have a fake masquerading in your life. And the first thing I want us to look at this morning is the real disciple. Paul begins this letter by calling Timothy a true son of the faith. In other words, he's saying, Timothy, you are authentic. It is most likely that Timothy was led to the Lord by his grandmother, but his grandmother came to know the Lord and heard the gospel through Paul's preaching. So Paul was indirectly, if not directly, responsible for Timothy's coming to faith in Christ. But Paul was certainly responsible for Timothy's discipleship, for his training and nurturing in the faith. And Paul had taught Timothy the true doctrine, the doctrine that Jesus Christ had revealed to him, to the Apostle Paul, to the teachings of Jesus that we find in the Gospels. Paul had rightly divided the word of truth and knew what was right and had carried it on, passed it on to Timothy. You know what, especially in our techno world, lies spread like wildfire. Somebody posts something on Facebook and all of a sudden, you know, 50 people share it and then 1,000 people share it and then, you know, exactly. People think it's true, but it's not true. And so Paul is expressing to Timothy the importance of making sure it's real. So he refers to Timothy as a true son of the faith. In other words, Timothy has given some evidence of his conversion. Paul could see. Now there really is a true sense that only you know if you have put your faith and trust in God, or you haven't. Only you know that for 100% sure. And by the way, I think the Bible does tell us we can know for sure that we belong to Him. But I can tell you 100% of the time that if you really are a disciple of Jesus, there will be some fruit that is evident in your life so that your pastor, your church, the community members, lost people in the community can see evidence that you are a believer in Christ. Not because you say you are, but there's evidence. And so what were the evidences? Well, one mark of a real disciple of Jesus is that they have authentically given their life to Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the Lord of their life. In other words, Jesus has made not only saved them, but has made a substantial difference in their life. And now, they make choices based not on, hey, what do I want? What feels good? What's popular? But rather, they begin and they say, you know what? What does God want for my life? And so there's evidences. And one of those evidences is the choices that we make. A second evidence is the practices that we practice. The things that we do. Do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Do you go to church? Do you love others? Do you give to missions? And this missions month, are you concerned about other people hearing the gospel and Jesus having an opportunity to change their life just like He changed your life? Well, if the answer is yes, then that's evidence that you really have been changed by Jesus. Now, we don't go to church, and we don't read our Bible, and we don't pray and do all those other things I mentioned so that we can be saved. You cannot do diddly squat to earn your salvation. You cannot do it. It is a gift that God gives to us. But when we've received that gift, there are evidences that we've received the gift. I wore some nifty socks this morning. They don't really matter, but you see, they got tight. My mother-in-law gave these to me for Christmas. I'm going to come over here and show you all these. Now, she ordered these socks for me for Christmas. I received these socks. But you know what? I don't really get the benefit of the gift until I put them on my feet and wear them. And now you all know I've got cool, awesome Tennessee Titan socks. And you say, you know what? Those are pretty cool socks. I want some too. And but listen, understand this, that if you really have received the gift, you really have not received it and it doesn't impact your life until it is applied to your life. And when it's applied, it's evident to those around you. And so we don't earn our salvation. But those things that we do that are evidences, that are marks of a real disciple, we do because we are saved. You know, lost people aren't really concerned about praying to God. And they're not concerned most of the time about reading the Bible. And they're certainly not concerned about coming to church, although we'd love for them to come and we're glad when they do. Those are things Christians do. That believers do. And so understand this, that, and ask yourself, you know what? Is there evidence in my life that I belong to Jesus Christ? And I hope, friend, that you can say, you know what? Praise God, yes, there is. Because I'm going to tell you, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. In this side of glory, I'm not going to be, and you aren't going to be either. But praise God, I'm not what I used to be before Jesus came and found me. And there is a difference in my life. And praise God, there's a difference in your life too if you've met Jesus. But you see, not only do you need to know that, those around you need to know that. Because there are people in your life, where you work, in the neighborhood where you live, in the stores where you shop, in the families that you have, there are people that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They've not received the gift like you have. And they need to. And most of them are not going to listen to your preacher, even though he's a good preacher and, you know, a good pastor and he loves you and loves them. And they're probably not going to give me a listen because they don't know me. And they have that some preconceived ideas about, oh, he's a pastor, let me behave myself in front of him and, you know, not be, and all that. But do you know what? They know you. And so they'll listen to you a lot better than they'll listen to me. And when they see a change in your life, that will speak volumes to them. And when they see you behaving differently than the rest of this crazy world, that speaks volumes to them. Now hear me though, that witness is important, but a vital important element is not just how we live our life, It's us opening our mouth and telling them, hey, you know what, friend? Jesus has made a difference in my life, and he can make a difference in yours too. Knowing that Jesus has made a difference in your life is the only thing you need to know to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't need to have the Bible memorized. You don't need to know Greek. You don't need to, you know, have a doctorate in theology. All you have to know is Jesus made a difference in my life. And to be honest with you, that's really all lost people care about. They're not going to care that you can quote 20,000 scriptures or be impressed that you've gone on, you know, 10 mission trips or whatever. What they're going to be impressed in, what they're going to listen to, is when you say, you know what, I was where you are, and I was making some of the same decisions you are, and not heading in a good direction. And this man named Jesus came into my life and changed me, and I started heading in a new direction, and my life has been so much better since. And do you know what? That same Jesus that turned me around, he can turn you around too. So, being a real disciple. Secondly, this morning, not only do we need to be concerned about being real disciples, we need to be sure we are teaching real doctrine. Doctrine is important. Doctrine matters. I mentioned that there are a lot of crazy kooks that can write blogs and publish books and stuff. They will let lots of heretics write books and post blogs. We need to know and understand what the Bible says. And that's where our doctrine needs to come from. We as human beings, we like, though, to make God fit our mold. We want to put God in our box, and we want to be able to manipulate him like a marionette. That is not how God works. And if you serve a God that you can worship and control, the God is not a real God that you're serving. It's probably you. And you are not God. But you see, we like to take and say, well, yeah, I know the Bible says this, but you know, it really is kind of inconvenient. Let's change it. Or, okay, let's not change it. Let's just pretend it's not there. And friend, it's not just happening in our world today. It was already happening in the early church when the church was still a baby. Many of the people that Paul's talking about in the church in Ephesus are, you know, have not been Christians all that long, and Paul started the church in Ephesus, so we know they had some pretty good foundations. And yet, they had strayed already by this time. There were people coming up with all kinds of kooky ideas. And so Paul says, you teach people the right doctrine, and anybody that teaches anything contrary to what I've taught you and what the Bible says, you kick them out the door. Because false doctrine, even a little ounce of it, will reap great harm and destroy many lives. And so Paul says to Timothy and says to us, you make sure you charge people, they do not teach any doctrine but the doctrine that is found in the Bible. You make sure that they are not teaching things contrary to God's Word. There seriously are churches where their teaching is that it is okay to have more than one wife or more than one husband. Now, if those of us that are married are honest, we'll say that, you know what, the one we've got is more than we can handle a lot of the time. Amen? Why on earth would you want to add 2 or 3 or 4 or 70 more? But the Bible says that marriage is God-ordained and is good, and it's between one man and one woman. But our depraved and sinful culture has turned marriage into anything but. And it used to be marriage was an honorable thing. Marriage is not so honorable anymore. It's kind of looked down upon. I'm not saying, you know, that we don't question and have. It's all right for us to have questions and to wonder about things. That doesn't unsettle God. But what does unsettle God is when we try to start rewriting the book to fit our own whims and fancies and how we think it ought to be. And so Paul said, listen, there's some that are, you know, they're not preaching the Bible and they're not preaching the word that they've been given. Instead, they're, you know, they've turning to idol talk and genealogies and all kinds of crazy things that have nothing to do with the gospel and Jesus Christ coming in and changing a person and saving a person. And what does Paul say to Timothy? He said, Timothy, don't put up with that nonsense. You preach the word so that people know what the right doctrine is. And I'll just say this and move on. There are some doctrines in the Bible that are iffy, that are questionable, that it's okay to have some variance of opinion about. But then there are doctrines in the Bible that if you're going to be a follower of Christ, you have to believe them. And if you don't believe them, then you're not a Christian. If you do not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. That is one of those cardinal, foundational doctrines that there's no room for error or alternate opinions. He either was or he wasn't. And so we need to base our, and this is what the point is, not arguing the finer points of doctrine, but you make sure your doctrine comes from this book. When it contradicts God's word, it is not sound doctrine. One of the big ten is do not commit adultery. Those are big ten commandments, not ten suggestions. And there's no ambiguity of what adultery means. And there's no wiggle room. So when a church tells you, hey, yeah, we're going to redefine what adultery is, that's a sign you get out of that church quick. Don't listen to that. If I say something that goes against God's word, you come and you say, hey, Aaron, I think messed this up. You got it wrong. I try not to do that, but I am a human being and am imperfect and can make mistakes. Our doctrine needs to come from God's word. And when it comes from any place else, it's man-made. It's not God's doctrine. And doctrine is not made to fit our whims and fancies and what we think ought to be. And so we've talked this morning about the real, what is it to be a real disciple? What is it to recognize real doctrine that matches up? How do you tell if somebody's a real disciple? There's evidence of it. It shows. How do you tell if something is a real doctrine? It comes from God's word. Well, let me last this morning as we conclude this message talk to you about, hey, listen, what's the real deal? Why does all this matter? There were in the early church people that were teaching some wildly crazy notions of what it meant to follow Jesus. Some of those were things that on the surface seemed to be not that big of a deal. By the way, they turn out later to be a big deal, as those things tend to do. But why does it matter? Why does it matter that we are living out the faith that we say we believe? And why we get our doctrine from God's Word, not from man? Because there is a world all around us that's headed for hell. They're headed for an eternity of destruction. And this government, no human government, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian or an Independent, it doesn't matter who's in the White House or who's in control of the world. Politicians are not going to fix the problems that ail our world. Because at the very basic, our problems are not political problems. And our problems are not even economic problems. What most of our problems stem from are spiritual issues. From sin and the effects of sin in this fallen world. And guess what? The only hope, there is a recipe, a cure for that disease of sin. And there's only one cure. And that cure is the blood of Jesus Christ. And have a relationship. And that is the only thing that's going to fix our world. And we know that the only way and the only time this world is ultimately going to be fixed is when Jesus comes again. And this world is wiped away and God creates this new heaven and a new earth, where evil and sin are destroyed and finally once for all defeated. Here's the thing. It matters that you're a real disciple and that you believe real doctrine, because there are people all around you that need to hear that message of that Jesus loves them and Jesus has a way for them to live that's better and will give their life purpose and meaning. And ultimately redemption. And so if we're real, and we believe real, it will make a real difference in this world. You know, if you're here today and you've not really been changed by Jesus Christ, can I tell you today, Jesus wants to make a change in your life. And He will if you'll come to Him. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I am a child of God, I am a believer, I have been changed by Jesus, and I do take the Bible as my source for doctrine, and I try to live my life according to its precepts. Friend, can I tell you, if that's you, then God has people around you that God has put you around for the express purpose of impacting them for the gospel. They are not going to hear the gospel message from news channels. They are not going to hear it from self-help books. They are not going to hear it from conferences. The only place they're going to hear it is from you. And so do not keep your mouth shut and do not keep your life hid. What did Jesus say in the Sermon? He said, you know what? A city on a hill can't be hid. He said, you know what? You don't take a candle and put it in the middle of the room and then put a basket over the top of it. He said, no, you set that candle out in the middle of the room so it can give light to all who are in that room. And friends, there are people in the room of your life all around you. They need to see the light of Jesus that shines inside of you. But know this, they can't see it if it's not there. But if it is there, you make sure it's lit, and boy, it's got a flaming bright, you know, flame shining for all to see. And you make sure they don't just see your flame, but you make sure they hear your testimony. And again, all you have to know is, hey, listen, I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I know that Jesus made a difference in my life. And I know if he made a difference in my life, he can make a difference in your life too. And so you go and you show and you tell them, hey, I've got the real deal. And God wants you to have it too. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, we thank you for your word and how it challenges us. And Lord, as we've been reminded today, how important it is to be real. And Lord, part of being real is recognizing we are not perfect. We are not sinless. We are not what we ought to be. But it is our hope that every one of us can say, you know what? No, I'm not where I ought to be, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be either. We're thankful that you are still working on us. God, if there's one here today in the auditorium or maybe watching on Facebook or YouTube that doesn't know you and they've never been changed. They don't have that hope and they don't have that joy that comes from knowing you. Would you help them today to get real with you and to receive that real gift that you gave on the cross of Calvary to pay for their sin debt? And then may you give them the gift of renewing of life, that just as you rose from the dead 3 days later, we can rise to newness of life through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be bold in our faith. Give us opportunities. Help us to see with your eyes the people around us and opportunities that you put in our path to share the gospel. Lord, help us not be bashful about the change that you've made in our lives. But help us to boldly proclaim to this lost and dying world that the hope they need, the peace they need, the answers they're looking and searching for, are all of that is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be obedient. Help us to be your hands and feet to a lost and dying world, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, my friend, and if God's spoken to your heart today, this would be a great day and a great time, a great place to make a decision for the Lord. To simply say, you know what? God, I want you in my life. I want you to make a difference. And then know that once Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life, he's made a difference in your life with the intention that you go and make a difference in his world. So would you be obedient to him? Let's sing together this morning.